Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
I began to talk about it on Friday, but I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, the wisdom of God. I want to talk to you about Jesus, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, what? The wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Jesus, the wisdom of God. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Today, I want to talk to you not about the power, but about the wisdom. Because within Jesus are captured two very vital aspects of God. One is that Jesus is the power of God. And the other side is that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Now, most of the time, we like the power of God. Hallelujah. We like the power of God. So when you are celebrating Easter like this, we celebrate the power of God. His power to endure suffering. His power to endure betrayal. His power to endure the cross. And his power to resurrect from death. That is what we often celebrate. But we forget that the thing that produced the power of God was actually the wisdom of God. Listen to me. It is the wisdom of God that determines the power of God and that produces or manifests the power of God. And it is the wisdom of God also that by his wisdom, he also sustains his power on the earth. And many times we forget that part. You see, there is a wisdom of God that is revealed to us in this season. It is that wisdom that has produced what we are celebrating. Because wisdom is the ability based on knowledge to produce or to achieve certain outcomes. That is that if I want to achieve something, if I want to produce a certain result, power in itself must become a tool of wisdom and not wisdom itself. In other words, it is wisdom that tells me where power is necessary, that what is required in this situation is power. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So let me try to explain. If somebody, let us assume that this or this speaker falls on somebody's leg. Are you getting me? And the speaker is heavy. Are you getting me? Now you are trying to save this person from this speaker that has fallen. We're in service like this. If somebody comes and begins to pray, Mashakodiaba. That is that by prayer, he wants the speaker to come off my leg. Is that wisdom? No, I'm asking, is that wisdom? Is it possible? Very good. Is it possible? Is it wisdom? It is not wisdom. Wisdom will simply say, let three brethren come. Is that not so? And pick up this speaker off my foot. In other words, it is wisdom informs the decision in order to produce the result. Are we together? But what if they brought somebody into the service right now that has been sick for a year and they said they've taken him to so-so hospital, this person has checked him, that person has done, they can't tell what is the problem with the person. But the person is having high temperature for 6 months, the person cannot eat, the person is not feeling well. At that point, do we need three brethren to come and leave the brother? What do we need? We need prayer, isn't it? So in that, why are we praying for the person? So that power can be released concerning that situation. Is that not so? So wisdom is what determines what to apply in a particular situation. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So I want you to hear me very well. God had a dream. And the dream God had was that he was going to put man on the earth, so that man will extend his authority to the earth. So that God can have beings that he can have fellowship with. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God had that dream. It is a dream of God. And when God had that dream, God began to do everything it takes to put man on the earth. But Satan, you know, came, and I used to say he spoiled it. Like the way I used to talk about it until the Holy Spirit corrected me. Because if you look at it, it looked like as if he spoiled God's plan. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But recently the Holy Spirit showed me something, and I'll show it to you in scripture. So, but by the wisdom of God, that thing that looked as though Satan spoiled it, God brought back that intention and made it even greater and more beautiful than it was supposed to be. Are you hearing me? And God achieved it by what? By his wisdom. There are three types of wisdom on the earth. There is what is called the wisdom of man. There's what is called the wisdom of man. The Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of it thereof is destruction. The Bible says, for the way of the foolish, it wearied all of them, for they do not know the way to the city. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something called the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man is craftiness. When you hear a man is wise, are you hearing me? That means that man is crafty. That means that man has some ways he can do some things. He can do some corner and arrive at something. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Sometimes he may do it properly. Sometimes he may do it improperly. Are you getting me? But he is limited. But the man has his own wisdom. There's the wisdom of man. Praise God. Then there is the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. There's something called the wisdom of this world. Let me tell you something. Some people are wise, but when you study their wisdom is the wisdom of this world. Some people, they seem to be wise, but when you study their wisdom, the wisdom they have is the wisdom of this world. And I will show it to you. You see, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are mature. The word perfect there means mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, which means this world has its own wisdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This world has its own wisdom. This world. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. In other words, the people that seem to leverage, that seem to be successful in this world, they use a wisdom. It's called the wisdom of this world. The Bible says there's wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, or that of the princes of this world, which means the princes of this world operate in a wisdom. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? What did I say? The princes of this world operate in a wisdom. How many of you have ever heard of the 48 laws of power? There's a book called the 48 laws of power. In it is wisdom. You are pretending like you didn't. Some of you have it in your library. In it is wisdom. But what is it? It is the wisdom of this world. If you use it upon the people of this world, on people that are of this world, it will work. It will produce results. Hear me well. If you use it in this world, if you use it on the people of this world, it will produce results. Hallelujah. It is the wisdom of this world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the Bible says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, which means there is a wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. That is that how men become princes in this world is through a wisdom. And that wisdom is called the wisdom of this world. That's how they arrive at becoming princes in this world. In this world. Now look at it. But that wisdom has an end. The Bible says that come to naught. The word naught means nothing. Means the end of every man whose primary approach to applying wisdom is that he will come to nothing. That in the eyes of God, are you hearing me? In the eyes of men, he may seem to have achieved certain things. But in the eyes of God, if that is his wisdom, the end of that man will be nothing. So you remember the story of the rich man in Luke chapter 12, who the Bible says that his grounds brought forth much. And the Bible says, and he said, I have gained much. And he pulled down his barns and built larger ones. That was where his error started. No, you're not understanding. No, I'm asking you a question, sir. If you know, there are some people who have this account that they cannot. I opened one account many years ago. Recently, I've not used it for a very, very long time. And then I was asking the banks a question or something. And they said, this account, is it that you cannot put, is it more than 100,000 or you cannot remove more than 100,000, something like that. I opened it a long time ago. So that account has limitation. Are you getting my point? Now just imagine, let's assume you have an account that you cannot put more than 100,000. And then you suddenly just get 5 million. What will you do? What would you do? You will open an account that can carry that. Is that not so? That was what the man did. His grounds brought forth much. So what did he do? He pulled down the barns that he had that could only contain little, so that he can build larger barns, so that he can put. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The man did what was proper in the sight of every man. But listen to me. One of the things you will discover about the wisdom of God, and I wrote it in one of my books, I said, wisdom in the eyes of God is knowing what God wants you to do, how he wants you to do it, in the manner he wants, and the time he wants you to do it. So possibly, in God, if he had asked God that day, God would have told him, you have 2 weeks to live. Keeping this thing will not help you. I don't know whether you are hearing what I'm saying. Be a blessing to the people you are always planning to be a blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says he built a greater barns, and he put all his crops, and he said to himself, sit down and enjoy, for you have much that is laid up for you. And the Bible says God spoke something over his life that day. And the Bible says, you fool. How can a man, are you hearing what I'm saying? I've said to you, how can a man that did a business, you know, he did one business, sir, and retired. How can a man who did one business, had one breakthrough, will you call that man a fool? A man that had one breakthrough that he could retire from. You see, the man was wise in the things of this world. So Jesus said, so are they who are wise in the things of this life, but they are not wise towards God. In other words, a man can look very wise in the things of this life, and he can be very foolish when it comes to the things of God. Let me tell you. See, let me say something to you. You will see this often displayed in the way we manage our resources. Men, they look very wise, but God looks at them and says, oh, you are not wise. So a man, there's the wisdom of this world, there's the wisdom of man. Are you hearing me? And then there's the wisdom of God. I want to quickly look at the wisdom of God in a few things. Amen. The wisdom of God comes with foresight. Listen to me. The wisdom of God comes with what? It comes with what? Foresight. Let me tell you, sir. Many times when God is doing something, are you hearing me? It doesn't look like there is a need for that thing that God is doing. Because most of the time when God is doing something, it's not about where you are today. It's about what will happen. So God met Noah and said to him, build an ark. And history tells us that Noah was building the ark for 120 years. So let me ask you a question. How do you start a project of 120 years and it looks like it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, let me ask you, how many friends did you think Noah lost? Now, sincerely speaking, if today you found a man that was doing nothing except every day they pay him salary, he goes to buy wood and take it to one bush. He's cutting down trees and telling you that a flood is going to, in fact, even in today that we know flood, if somebody was building a ship, are you hearing what I'm saying? And telling you that there is going to be a flood and he's doing nothing, that became his full-time calling and ministry. Won't you think something is wrong with the man? Because you see, the wisdom of God is never about today. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I said the wisdom of God is never about today. Somebody met me many years ago, before we started building. Just about the time we wanted to start this building, the person met me and said to me, he said, Pastor, don't build. Don't build in that land you have, don't build. I said, why? He said, you know, some people see things. He said, this land you have is prime land. He said, you should leave it. One day when road comes, I'm talking to you about like 5-6 years ago. He said, when road comes,
you can sell that land with more than 10 times the money you bought it. Now, if we were selling this land today, wouldn't it be true? Now, I'm asking, wouldn't it be true? You see, the wisdom, listen to me. The only thing I told him, I said, God too likes good things. You see, when God moves you to do something, are you hearing what I'm saying? God is not talking to you about where you are now. Or you are not hearing what I'm saying. Whenever God moves you to do something, God is not talking to you about where you are now. God has seen 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, sometimes 100 years ahead of you. So when I used to tell God that, salvation was it, then God reminded me. He said, Jesus, see the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So Jesus was not slain 2,000 years ago. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God knew that a day will come that Satan will try to play a game. So God and Jesus in a figure settled the matter of... Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was the manifestation that we know, but the agreement and the deed was done before Satan ever showed up. The wisdom of God is never about today. The wisdom of God is always about a season and a time that you have not come into it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when God is telling you something, please listen to me. God is talking about 10 years from now. Listen, let me tell you this. I'm going to show it, but let me tell you something. When God is showing you something, it's going to be about 20 years from now. When God is telling you, forgive Mao today, and you are looking at Mao, and you are looking, what does Mao have? Why should I forgive Mao? Why should I be Mao's friend? Bros, you are only seeing Mao today. You are making decisions about Pastor Mao today. You have weighed Pastor Mao in today. You don't know what will happen 10 years from now. God is not even talking about today. He's talking about 10 years from now. 10 years from now, your son will want to go and marry Mao's daughter. Then you will discover why God told you, become Mao's friend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's wisdom is never about today. So when God tells you to do a thing, when God reveals a thing to you, don't ever think he's talking about today. He's always talking about a future that you have not yet come into. The wisdom of God is covered in foolishness. Every time the wisdom of God is being revealed, it looks foolish. Every time the wisdom of God is being revealed, it looks foolish. Let me tell you something. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter where we read. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin to read from verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 21. Let's begin to read from there. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Next verse. Let me say this. You know, there are some people who want to, you know, those people who they debate with some other religions, whether Christianity is true. You can never prove Christianity by human wisdom. Stop wasting your time going for debates. Stop wasting your time trying to prove to a person that a virgin gave birth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Science disagrees with you. Human experience disagrees with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is nothing. When Elisha took the stick and threw it in the water and the stick sank and the axe head floated, what is the scientific way of proving it? I don't know whether you are understanding what I'm saying. How do you scientifically prove it? I shared with you my testimony of how God delivered me from Jaws. Many times when people say, how? I don't know how. I don't know how. I had two people by my side with machete. One in front of me, one by the driver's side. And they said, suasuke chikimote na susoka. And my response was, wanda kuke nema basa na. Is that a response? How do you prove what God did? Christianity doesn't make sense. So are you hearing what I'm saying? It is the reason why they that comes to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Doesn't make sense. If I told you that I came down from the car and took off with speed, it makes sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, it would have made sense. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Next verse, let's move. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. You know why it's a stumbling block? Because the Jew cannot understand that the Messiah is crucified. How? Because the Messiah was supposed to come in power. The Messiah was supposed to come in pomp. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A Messiah, that was not their understanding of Messiah. It's the reason they can never accept this Messiah that you are bringing. Because the Messiah that they are expecting to come, are you hearing me? Will conquer the world by the brute force. So it's a stumbling block. They don't understand this Messiah. This weak Messiah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This Messiah that they were slapping him. And he sat down quiet. You don't understand. Is it not the wisdom of... let me ask you. The wisdom of this world says an eye for an eye. If somebody slapped your friend on the street and came home, and your friend came home, and said, Pastor Zaya, somebody just slapped me now on the street. If you are a normal human being, what would be the question you will ask him? And what did you do? Now I'm asking you a question now. Is that not the normal response? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53 as I close. Is that not the normal response? If somebody slapped you, are you hearing what I'm saying? If somebody just slapped you on the street, what will be your response? What did you do? Who has believed our report? Start from verse 5. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. You know what? Even Jesus had a short moment of common sense. A short moment of common sense. When they were arresting him, you know, he looked at them. He looked at them. He said, why do you come with sticks and all that? He said to them, he said, don't you know that I can ask my Father to give me a legion of angels to come and protect me? Because that's the natural response to what you are doing. Today, may the wisdom of God rest upon you. Because in the wisdom of God, sir, God never does something in response. See, you can't make God respond to you. You are not getting what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't make God respond to you. God responds to his purposes, to his eternal plans. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you know, the people, but he was wounded for our transgression. So the moment they were wounding him, even, you know, Pilate asked him, he said, I want you to answer. Answer now. The Bible says he kept dumb. And there was a reason. If he had answered, he would have given Pilate a reason to release him. And hello, he must not be released though. Jesus must not have been released. If Jesus was released, we will not gather here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So listen to me. There is a wisdom in God sometimes that you take loss. No, you didn't hear what I said. There's the wisdom of God, are you hearing me, that you take loss. Sometimes there's a wisdom of God that you forgive those who have harmed you. No, you're not hearing what I'm saying. There's a wisdom of God that you accept defeat. It is not the wisdom of this world. It is not the wisdom of men. It is the wisdom of God. So when they were wounding him and he gave his body to be wounded, are you hearing me? He was looking at the day when by his stripes you will be healed. That was the wisdom behind it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Every time they flogged him, he saw malaria going out. Every time are you hearing me? Every time that whip went around him, cancer was broken. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He took it because he knew there was a divine outcome that must come out of that situation. He was oppressed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. We live in a generation that people respond to. People respond. In fact, the one that used to annoy me is the one on social media. You fought with somebody and you are coming to respond to the person, to the whole world. You are responding. We live in a world that people respond to things. May God give you the wisdom to be quiet. May God give you the wisdom to refuse to respond. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yes, let's go, guys. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. In his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That is the thing that God wants to see happen on the earth. He went through all of that so that it can happen. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That every time God saw what Jesus went through, God was not crying, God was celebrating. We celebrate Easter not because of what Jesus went through in the flesh. We celebrate Easter because of the outcome of what he went through. In what he went through, we see the wisdom of God revealed. In what he went through, we see the power of God revealed. Many people have died before Jesus, and many people have come back to life. But nobody died and brought himself back to life. Jesus started that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus started that move. And the reason he was able to do it was because he went through what he went through. So God has given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Oh, every time I go to the place of prayer, I rejoice at the sufferings of Jesus. Because that has given me the capacity to call upon that name that is above every other name. That the things that are in heaven and on the earth and underneath the earth must respond to that name. I see the wisdom of God in display. So can I say something to you tonight? Not every suffering is actually suffering. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not every suffering is actually suffering. There are sufferings that you are going through. The Bible says for this present suffering cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. So in the wisdom of God, sir, we have to go through some suffering for a time. The Bible says after you have suffered a little while, then the Lord will remember you. He will establish you and he will settle you. Look at your neighbor, tell him there's a settlement that is coming. Tell your neighbor there's a settlement that is coming. But listen to me, before that time comes, sometimes you are abused, sometimes you are misunderstood, sometimes your love, you love, but you are paid back with evil. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now listen to me, your error will be to move in the flesh, to move as other humans, to be able to take back what you believe is your right. Jesus would have done it, and we would have forever been doomed, because there was no other person that could have saved us except him. But he drank the cup. It wasn't that he didn't feel it though. He said, Lord, if it is thy will, let this cup pass. I come to speak to a man. I come to speak to a woman. You are in a season when you could actually move and do certain things. But you have seen the end. You have seen the wisdom of God for you, for going through what you are going through. And you hear the Spirit of the Lord say to you, hold your peace. Sometimes in God, losing is winning. That is the wisdom of God. And everybody does not have the capacity to lose, because the wisdom of man tells you to win all the time. But tonight, I present to you a gospel that Jesus lost so that you can win. I can be moved like Zion's hills. My feet are still. Hey. I hear Jesus. He said, men said, if they slap you on the left, turn the right. He said, but I say to you, don't even turn the right. He said, if they take your tunic, he said, remove your coat and give it to them. He said, blessed are you when men despisefully use you. It was him. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. His wisdom. Oh. He said, I say to you, men have said, an eye for an eye. But he said, do good to them that hate you. The wisdom of God is always contrary to the way the world sees it. Don't follow the wisdom of this world. See the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God in your home. He's the wisdom of God in your home. He's the wisdom of God in your business. He is the wisdom of God. Even in your business, let men cheat you rather than you cheat them is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. Tonight, I recommend to you the wisdom of God. Father, we thank you. It is the entrance of your word that gives light.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.